Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
More The Guys, Ken and Curtis. The Ken and Curtis Show on EEI.
All right, Ken and Curtis, one thing we haven't mentioned today, Paul Pierce entering the Hall of Fame today, his induction today. You were a big Pierce fan back in the early aughts, Curtis, I know.
Yes.
Pierce and Garnett, obviously here in short, recent order, being
that,
honored.
That Mannix story was spectacular, if you get a chance. A truly unfiltered Paul Pierce. And, you know, I feel like Doc Rivers has a very sort of, people either love him or hate him in terms of his resume here. You know, clearly in the story you learn of the major differences that Paul Pierce and Doc had on how the team was built. And Doc famously said to Paul, "You need to pass more." And he said, "What do you want me to do, pass to Yuri Welsh? No, thank you." But that getting that team with those guys, Ray Allen, Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, and Rondo, I mean, major, major alphas.
Pierce's one regret, he said, was not winning a second one.
Right.
Which is obvious. That's the big difference. 15 years in Boston, 10-time All-Star, All-NBA four times, Celtics' second all-time leading scorer.
And he's a guy that, he loved Boston despite that vicious attack and the city loved. I mean, Paul Pierce, I don't know of a single Celtics fan that has a bad thing to say about him.
Now, you hate Belichick, that's clear. But Belichick is winning the poll. Who would you rather have as a Patriots fan, Tom Brady back, or Mac in the new free agent? 60% Mac in the new free agent. So that's obviously pro-Bill sentiment here in town. People trust in Bill. Courtney's hesitant to say it, but in Bill we trust. dive into the psychology here. How do you explain that? Okay. You keep saying everybody would want Brady back. This is evidence they don't. People don't want him back.
You are the dumbest smart person I have ever met. Is there any chance?
Careful, I'm your boss.
Is there any chance that Tom Brady's coming back?
No, Tom Brady's not coming back.
So psychologically, as a fan, you latch onto what is, not what could be. So that's the psychology behind it.
Well,
you have Mac, and guess what? The most popular player is the quarterback you don't know any flaws of yet. So you have Mac Jones beginning anew with a great offseason, a great defense, and you're going, I'm investing in this team because I'm a fan of this team.
Okay, but I said that earlier. Mac has a lot to lose tomorrow, not a lot to gain.
Well, on Monday, if they lose 21-3 and he throws two picks, we'll do that poll again.
No, we're not doing that poll again. We're not doing that poll.
You cited the AB poll like 5,000 times because Patriots fans flip-flopped. I think you even pinned it.
That's a low blow. Those were volatile times. Antonio Brown is an emotional figure, you know. So yeah, a lot of split opinions on that.
He threw something off his deck when he read that.
Tim and Chicopee's been hanging on for a while on I think Winners and Losers. Maybe something else. What's up, Tim?
Hey guys, love the show. Just a quick comment, that guy Armando. Well, they haven't been to the playoffs in a few years. Dude, it's still 1 year.
1 year.
But anyway.
1 year.
Good point.
So I think I'll make it simple. I think that the winner and the loser on Sunday is only one person, and that's Bob Kraft. And the reason I say that is everybody knows that Belichick was forced to take a quarterback, all right, in that first round. And Mac Jones just happened to fall to him. So he's off the hook for that. And so Kraft, hey, if Mac Jones looks like he's the guy, You know, it's going to take part of the season to see that, but we're talking one game. If he can do the job, it's Robert Kraft's winner. If he totally falls on his face just for one game, it's the opening game, it's going to look like that Kraft's the loser. It's the same guy. Let's not beat around the bush, right? He spent all this money. He got to get a quarterback. So was it the right quarterback? We're going to find out. And as far as the debate goes, yeah, Curtis, I know you're a Brady guy. That's all great. And you made the comment just a little while ago saying, well, we can only talk about what has been done. That's true. Okay, he wins the Super Bowl. But if we start looking at it in the total context of saying, okay, 3 to 4 years, let's say Brady's going to play for 4 more years, he's going to play till 48, 49, for argument's sake. If Bill Belichick has at least gone to a Super Bowl and had, let's say, AFC championship makes it there, so that's 2 out of 4 years he's done that, right, with Mac Jones, and Brady has maybe not gone past, I don't know, NFC championship game. So at that point, do we kind of say that it's a draw or Brady's the winner?
I'd answer this way, Tim. My entire childhood and growing up until when Brady was winning his first set of Super Bowls was Montana's the best. 4-0 in the Super Bowl. You know, talk to me when Brady gets closer. When Brady won 2, when Brady won 3, when Brady won 4, it was still Brady was 4-1, Montana was 4-0, and then he won his 5th, his 6th, and his 7th. So, yes, that changed, right? We all thought Montana was the greatest, and Brady is now. Then it was Mahomes is already better than Brady, and then, nope, that didn't work
out. That's still going on.
And so, yes, if all those things happen, I'm just saying the reason why the poll – I was answering in this way because Ken asked me about a poll question. I said
poll of the year.
God, you are Captain Interruptus. The poll question, I was telling him that it's based on what the unknown is, and you can't talk about things that have yet to occur. So if Bill Belichick wins a couple more Super Bowls and Brady never gets back to another one, yeah, call us then.
As far as Bill tomorrow, his rep's on the line for this. The defense that he's assembled, missing Steph Gilmore, if for some reason Tua like lights up the Patriots secondary, that's their weak link, and Tua is exposing them tomorrow, that is a horrible look for Bill. You spend all this money on free agency, and then as most people believe, they refuse to pay the top corner, and he's got to sit out for 6 weeks.
And you said, rightfully so, that the Bucs are top-heavy with their contracts. Mm-hmm. Well, if right now the secondary is thin without Gilmore.
Yeah.
So you have this front seven. Let's say one member of the secondary goes down tomorrow.
Yep.
And
you got Sean Wade out there trying to cover Jalen Waddle. It could be rough.
But do you think that Bill feels like he's under pressure?
No. Bill feels that Bill's under pressure?
Bill Belichick, does he feel like he's under pressure?
No, not at all. Is he sounding like that when he's come on with us
not
on
at
Mondays?
All. No, so it's interesting. I mean, do you believe that the Crafts are need a big season?
No, I think people that are portraying this as like Bill has to win or he's fired are crazy. A lot of people feel that way, Tangway and others. I mean,
I think that the only way that Bill's in any trouble is if Mac Jones is not at all the guy we think he is.
Even then, as the caller said, this was Kraft's push, Kraft's pick. I think he is off the hook on that.
Well, then he is on the hook. If he's not even allowed to make roster decisions anymore, then what power does he have?
They're not going to fire Belichick. They are not going to do that. Kraft chose him over Brady. He's going to stick with him now until he beats Shula.
But
he's not going anywhere.
Do we hear from Kraft at all, or is this just his new thing? Like, they're never talking?
Yeah, he hasn't spoken much. He sent Glennie a farewell message.
Okay.
Alan Everett, who's got great sandwiches. Al's Place is unbelievable. Hi, Al.
I love Can I, no matter how much I disagree with you on sports, I love you. I love you anyway. Don't worry about it.
Thanks, buddy.
Hey, listen, some great calls this morning. The guy Bill earlier was tremendous. I called you guys the same time last year, and I told you that the exposure of Bill Belichick was about to happen. And this is chapter 2 now this year. And can we just get one thing out of the way? The silly non-argument about whose fault it was that Brady's gone. Everyone out there listening? Bill Belichick's fault. If you can't admit that, then you either have an agenda or you want to root for your team no matter what, and you got blinders on. It's Bill Belichick's fault. He's the GM and the coach that brought Tom Brady's gone. Didn't have a relationship with the greatest quarterback of all time. And he's a greatest head coach. How could you even call? How do you not even give him any fault for that one? Anyway, I'm not calling about that. Here we go now. This is year two, and everyone out there that was fooled and bamboozled all these years, you're going to see. You've already seen last year. I told you what was going to happen last year. Did I ever think that Brady would win the whole thing? I knew he was going to expose Bill Belichick for the fraud he is. And I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't mind, Curtis, if the guy was a nice guy and just was in the wrong place. He was a creep to this kid. He treated him like dirt. If you can't admit that, there's something wrong with you, or you're not paying attention.
No, I generally agree with your sentiments, Al. I think you
good,
put it well.
Good subs, but flawed on the radio.
Excellent.
That's fine.
State
That's
Street
fine.
Cafe, good place.
Yeah, what if they're back to max? So we saw the traffic yesterday, back to normal. It seemed that way anyway.
By the way, RIP Wiggy Parm. I mean, that thing was a disaster.
It lasted about a week. Let's go to John in Maine. Hi, John.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Good. Hey, I don't understand why people aren't talking about it more, but you've got a rookie quarterback who can get hurt on the first play of the game, and then you bring in the garbage, and there's nobody backing him up. The Patriots left a huge gaping hole. This kid got sacked four or five times or six times over like 30 pass attempts in the preseason.
Yeah.
And he's going to take sacks because he's going to be scared. And he's going to get hurt. And then you're going to be having Hoyer in there, really? I think they should have prepared for that. The second thing is you know, we're not going to know for six or eight games who this guy is. I mean, everybody thinks if they beat the Dolphins and he plays well, oh, my God, this guy's, you know, he's the next Brady. There we go. We found him. You know, he could crap himself in game two. You know, you don't know.
But don't you?
I mean, you just don't know.
Don't most of these guys, when they come out, you can at least tell if they've got it. It might take a few years to harness it into full potential, but you can see right away if a guy flashes.
Well, let me tell you something. When a 325-pound lineman lands on you, you can lose it pretty quickly. You know what I mean? All of a sudden, you're out there and you're going, man, I got to get rid of the ball because I don't want to get tackled by that huge guy again. You know?
That's a good point.
And all of a sudden, he's playing scared.
Oh, it
is. You don't know. When he was at Alabama, guys, he had the best line in the country. He was standing back there, never rushed, being able to throw to, you know, three or four of the top receivers in the nation. And you in particular, but, you know, what he did in the preseason, he was playing against second and third string scrubs who aren't even on the team anymore. We have no idea who this guy is until he plays three or four meaningful games. You know, when the Dolphins line up and everybody's breathing down his throat when there's 10 guys running after him, he panics and chucks an interception. Now all of a sudden he's just another scrub.
Right. I mean, I think of all the things Sean went through there, we haven't touched on it, and it should be touched on, the brace on the knee, right? So,
yeah.
Is he injury prone? I don't know, but he only had one season plus some when Tua got hurt at Alabama, so.
You have to trust, though, that Bill saw beyond the playing with scrubs in the games, the joint practices.
Oh.
That he saw on the field enough that the talent's there. Forget about that.
And there was no incentive for the teammates to lie about Mac while Cam was still here.
Right.
Do you doubt
he's a smart guy that knows the playbook very well?
Not at all. I have no doubts about that. And when there was actually sort of an, I don't know if it may have hurt the guys who were complimentary of Mac while Cam was still here, especially the skill position guys. If you thought Cam was going to be the starter, you're asked about Mac, and it wasn't as if they were like prodded about him.
Right.
When you heard Trent Brown, it was almost out of nowhere talking about how he had this ability to command the huddle. Kendrick Bourne saying he had that swag. Jonnu Smith. I mean, the guys were really, I mean, supportive of him before Cam had left.
Matt in Rhodey. What's up, Matt?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Ken, are you sure you don't do part-time work for ESPN, like on one of their talk shows? Because I'm just trying to figure out where you come from when you laud Cam Newton for this crap thing he pulls with his dad doing an interview. And then you slam Tom Brady unmercifully with the biggest, like, BS stuff.
Well, here's the biggest difference. Brady admits he lies 90% of the time. Cam was honest for 45 minutes yesterday.
Yeah, no, he was honest.
Cam was honest?
Yes. Honest.
What are you talking about?
No. See, that's right there. It's a microcosm of, like, your whole existence on sports talk radio, dude.
Agreed, man.
You just make stuff up.
I make
for
stuff
your
up.
For your narrative, and then yeah, no, you totally make stuff up, and then well, after
so
being proven wrong,
what did Cam lie about? What did Cam lie about yesterday?
30 out of 32 teams don't recognize the mic. Mac Jones didn't beat him out.
Well, he didn't say teams. Like, he what said do
you,
quarterbacks.
Like, he looks like a fool. He looks like an absolute fool. And guys like you say, oh, no, that was just a great interview with his dad and his old high school. Like, it's a joke, dude.
Well, Matt, some teams don't have some teams don't have quarterbacks identify the mic. Sometimes it's the center or somebody on the offensive
line. 30 out of 32?
I don't know. Could be.
30, no, you said what did he lie about? 30 out of 32 teams.
Well, don't
call 32 offensive coordinators.
That could be true.
Come on, dude. NFL's that unsophisticated? Come on.
I think Cam plays in the NFL. He might know a thing or two about who identifies the mic. That could be true.
He was disingenuous. If you don't want to say dishonest, he was certainly disingenuous yesterday.
That's not a great look for him, I guess. You know.
Would you agree he was disingenuous?
I think he feels very strongly in his abilities, which I don't agree that he's beat Mac out.
Right.
That's his biggest flaw of the thing. But he was honest about what happened with him.
In any walk of life, coming to grips with your strengths and weaknesses is essential. And especially for a Bill Belichick team. You need to know what you can and what you can't do.
Best button pusher in the business right here. That's what Jerry told me. I'm going to stick with that. Speaking of which, now you found the 9/11 retrospective.
Yes, I did.
With Jerry and Dino.
I played it in on an 8-track.
But it's like intertwined with the highlights Chach had like mixed it together with. That's all we have, right, from that day. From
a two-minute montage of that morning as you heard it live unfold on WEEI.
I think it's worth playing. Personally, 20-year anniversary.
Yep.
I know John and Jerry are both gone here, but... That, to me, it's like that was the only sports station in town, obviously. I was 22 years old driving to work that day, listening to those guys. Thought they did a tremendous job, as they all always did, with breaking news. That was their greatest, one of their greatest strengths, that show. Interned with those guys very shortly thereafter with Meter. But they, you know, that was a lot of what a lot of guys my age and older, you know, 25, 54 men at that time were listening to. Your first glimpse into 9/11 as it was happening.
And it was surreal for me just personally working with them. I started April 1st, of course, April Fool's Day, 2013 with Dennis and Callahan. And then 2 weeks to the day was the bombings at the Boston Marathon. And working with them there and growing up, listening to them then, it was something that they took very seriously. And I think Jerry would have been a great investigative reporter if he wanted to be one day.
All right, we'll play that for you coming back. But first, let's trend and find out what's going on. Well, college football in action already.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
To more of the Ken and Curtis Show on EEI.
Here it is. This is the most incredible thing.
Not one, but two planes have crashed into the World Trade Center in New York.
Our very freedom came under attack in a series of deliberate and deadly terrorist acts.
Earlier this morning, one hit the World Trade Center in New York City, and on live television, literally a minute ago, what looked like a 727 jetliner,
a big passenger aircraft,
hit the building for the second time in as many minutes.
May God bless the victims, their families, and America.
The sound of the firefighters and some of their alarms going off is normal.
the sounds of people jumping was anything but. It was very loud, and it was happening about once every minute.
It is the most bizarre-looking scene I've ever seen. Both World Trade Center buildings in New York City are gaped open at the very top with airplanes at least embedded in one, and if not embedded in the other.
Trade Center have been hit by aircraft. Both are in flames.
They hit both towers of the World Trade Center, two aircraft, and I mean, it's obviously a terrorist attack.
There is black smoke coming from both of the towers.
Right to my right, there was two people on fire.
The entire building has just collapsed.
The scene here is reminiscent of a nuclear winter.
Right now, everyone is walking around with masks covering their face. There are people just wandering the streets covered in blood, covered in plaster. They were near the site when the building collapsed.
I just assumed my whole life there were ways to protect us from such a...
Apparently there's not.
An arbitrary act of terrorism.
I cannot describe what took place.
It was raining bodies.
It was people falling.
You know that every time you hear that crashing sound, it's a life which is extinguished.
How many deaths are there? The death toll is going to be unfathomable, because this is, how many floors are we seeing under attack there? Probably 20.
The top 10.
Here it is. That has to be 25, 30 floors there,
about
right, John? 30 floors are literally up in flames and were exploded by these two jetliners.
I just remember looking up, thinking how bad is it up there that the better option is to jump.
Evacuate the building. Command post to all units.
The World Trade Center is a place they struck before. They got caught. They got punished. They're doing time. And now they're gutted again.
All right, there it is. The Steve Chaccio montage. John Dennis, Jerry Callahan, 20 years ago today in the morning, late 8 o'clock, early 9 o'clock hour, Curtis, and some of the scenes interspersed with highlights and clips from the morning.
Yeah.
20 years ago today. And the retrospective you watched that you wanted to recommend was?
Okay, One Day in America on Hulu, or if you just say, I have Comcast into your remote, One Day in America, it'll pop up on the National Geographic. It's got commercials, but the most poignant thing, I've only watched the first. There's, I think, five or six parts. It's unbelievable, but it's a tough watch at times, obviously. Yeah. There is a chef who was working in the building on the second floor, I think. He was in the freezer getting stuff prepared for breakfast. Somebody comes to the door, and it's somebody eating there and at the restaurant. He's just a customer, and he says, you got to go look at this. He opens the door. He thinks there's an animal stuck in the door. It's an arm. And then he walks out and looks to the right. This must be on a mezzanine. And he just said it was just bodies, parts of bodies, all as far as he could see.
My God.
And a person jumped at that moment from the where it was, you know, hell on earth, the blazing inferno, 84th floor, whatever it was at the time,
yep.
And landed near him. He was with a colleague. He went inside, hopped in the elevator that worked down to the first floor. The other guy walked, and he lived. His friend didn't. And it's those types of just real, just emotional and painful stories. But I've watched almost everything on this subject. If you were 17 or 18 like I was when it happened, it's something you can't... I am always fascinated by it, about it. I want to know more of the real heroism of that day. But this specific documentary series is as in-depth as anything I've seen. So,
and it's six parts, though.
Six. So each is like an hour. So, yeah, it's not going to be something that... and for me, I finished the first one. I was like, all right, you know, time to go outside or laugh at Mutt in the radio. But
and you had to watch the Brady Bucks celebration video this week.
That's
too.
Right. Oh my God.
A lot of things to watch.
It is just...
How was that, by the way? The NFL Films thing?
I made it halfway through.
Really?
Well, Brady wasn't on.
Brady wasn't on it.
And I lived it. You know, I mean, I was living and dying by every throw. I got a ring. So...
And how lame was the Bucks opening ceremony? My God. What did you think of that? They have 2X on the billboard. 2X. And it's not even a banner. What the hell? And you're ripping Kraft for not ponying up the money. Who's the owner there?
What would you rather, a banner or a tight end?
Well, the tight end, Gronk, is making $3 million. That's part of their story of their success.
What are you talking about?
This year, he's making three. I don't know. They pushed it off future years. His cap hit is $3 million. Okay. Anyway.
Well, he's being paid $8 million this
year. How long is Gronk going to play? He looks fantastic.
Oh, we have that audio, Nick, do we? So, no rush. Let me know when we have it. So, I had said earlier in the show that Gronk said that he was going to play as long as Tom plays. I was wrong. The story was Chris Gronkowski, former guest of our morning show, spoke with TMZ and had this to say.
How long do you think he'll keep doing this, Chris?
Well, the last time you guys asked if he was going to come back, I said no. I said I'd be shocked. So, now here we are 2 years later, and we're asking how long he's going to play for. But really, I think the answer is as long as Tom plays. It was whatever Tom has left. I think that's what Rob has left as well. I just can't see him playing with another quarterback. You know, that's it's tough, man. It's tough to get that chemistry. It's tough to win. Once you lose that QB. So I mean, I don't know what Tom has left. He looks amazing. So it could be another 5 years still. But I think Rob will play it out until Tom plays it out. Is what I'm thinking.
My God, it's two more years. What if he has like 100 catches this year?
I mean, he looks – in his last two games, he's got four touchdown catches. And the last eight or nine games for Brady are just – I think it's like 25 touchdown passes and five interceptions.
We talked briefly because nobody wanted to talk about this at my lead Friday.
Yep.
Which was Patriots offensive player of the year. Who's it going to be?
Yeah, Greg totally tuned out.
No, nobody. So I said Jonnu Smith. Wiggy gave me an all right, but that was it. Then it just died. But I'm thinking, like, let's say Jonnu Smith has a great year. Think about the year Gronk had in 2011. 90 catches, 17 touchdowns, 1,300 yards. I mean, if Jonnu Smith has half of that, it's a good year for him.
You gave me a hard time at a certain point when I made this analogy, but Rob Gronkowski is Pedro Martinez in the NFL. During his peak, there's been no tight end anywhere near who he is. Like, Pedro from 97 through 01 is the greatest pitcher.
I mean, Kelsey is on his par now.
Yeah, but he's not really a tight end.
Yeah.
He's not. And, you know, football guys like me know that. Maybe
complete tight end? You mean talking about the complete player?
I mean, I really think that Ben Volen should not call in. But Jonnu Smith is not even in the same stratosphere as Gronk. I mean,
We don't think so, unless he suddenly has a breakout and he and Mac have a great connection. And
isn't it Bill Belichick's job to make sure the two players that are the very best to do what they do in the history of the sport feel like they're valued and welcomed?
Yeah, I mean, Gronk never said that, you know.
He was in tears.
I know, but he was on our show for an hour, that one, the Greg show, Greg Hill show, and he wouldn't really rip Belichick. He's not, I guess he's taking some shots at Belichick. Just how hard he rides him, you know, he rode him and everything else. But would he have ever come back here even for Tom? I don't think. I think something with between Bill and Gronk.
Well, it was all before.
Although Bill was at Gronk Beach,
right? But before it was bad with Bill and Brady, as far as we knew. Do you remember those like injury waiver reports both Rosenhaus would send and then the Patriots?
Yes.
Would send? Like they had issues along.
And he made the incentive laden contracts that he made him
right
live up to. It was tough. But now, I mean. He does look like he has 3 years left.
Yeah.
Jim in New Hampshire on the Ken and Curtis Show. Hi, Jim.
Hey, good morning. I love your show, guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, buddy.
I'm an older Pats fan, so I want you to take a look at the Belichick Brady comparison like from a different lens. And the reason I say that, so I paid my $8 for my ticket back in the day. I sat in the north end zone on the frozen bench and I watched guys like Plunkett, who had talent around them, get destroyed. You know, it didn't matter if it was Grogan, Eason, all the way up through Bledsoe. You know, it's about organization leadership, which is craft, and it's about coaching. I'm not taking anything away from Tom and what he did, but if you don't have the Givens and the Pattons and all the Hogans and all these guys making incredible catches, how many Super Bowls does Tom have? He's surrounded by talent.
Who's the owner of the Bucks, Jim?
He surrounded Brady with talent.
I know. Who's the owner of the Bucks?
I don't even know his
right.
name now.
Glazer. Nobody really does. And Bruce Arians. I keep saying Bruce Arena because you said Bruce Arians was rightfully lauded as the biggest boob in the NFL, and they won a Super Bowl because Tom Brady lifted the entire roster with his demands.
I don't think anybody
owns.
I got it, but I respectfully just disagree that anybody that owns an NFL team other than Dan Snyder. have to have some type of organization.
Well, his, like, his dad bought it for him. And Arians,
I mean, you don't become a coach in the NFL. I mean, we had Ron Meyer. We had Chuck Fairbanks. Like, it's come so far over the last 20 years, even 25 years, though. These guys are, they're better. They're better coaches. But I think Belichick had coaching skills, and I think Kraft helped him build something special there with ownership backing. We were unstable for decades. We had nothing. Plunkett goes to the Raiders and wins a Super Bowl. We had talent. We had Claiborne and Haynes on corners, Tippett, Hannah, Gray. We had all these guys. They could never assemble it, you know, and then ownership would blow it up, fire the coaching staff.
To compare today to that, the team's, you know, one of the best run of franchises in all of sports.
But Brady's ability to avoid getting hit, no sacks the other night against Dallas. It blows me away every time.
But you do realize that he plays a key role in that.
Oh, of course. That's his greatest strength.
Right. I mean, it's the offensive line. Honestly, watching that game, they were not nearly as good as they were at the end of last year. There was a lot of pressure on them.
And Mac will take a lot more hits than that. That will be a stunning difference this year.
Right. Honestly, look at his whole career outside of the suspension from Goodell and the Bernard Pollard hit at his leg in week one of 2008.
Yeah.
He's played, I believe it's 45 playoff games, and he started 345 games.
Right. What are the odds that Mac plays the entire year? Brady did that every year, never missed a freaking
game. And you look at the guys that are truly great in the NFL, right? Like the guys, Super Bowl championship caliber guys. Eli never missed a game. His brother never missed a game. I mean, it's almost Philip Rivers was one of the toughest guys in the NFL. Roethlisberger has become less reliable, but by the most important skill outside of some talent is durability at that position.
Fitzy and Mego are entering the building. We'll see if we can get Mego in for a little crossover. She is on the report for the Herald. She was also on Quick Slants this week with Tommy Curran, so she's covering the Patriots quite a bit. We'll get her intel on this game. Of course, she'll be on with Fitzy from 1 to 4 today.
You're listening to, and we're sorry, the Ken and Curtis Show on EEI.
Is this in honor of Fitzy, who we thought had a joint in his mouth when he walked in the building this morning?
This is in honor of Mego.
Oh. Why, is this go-go music?
I don't know, it's her favorite. She loves Wu-Tang Clan.
This is Wu-Tang, oh.
Oh, wow. Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
I was just going to let you expose yourself.
No, I have no idea.
And is I mean by your hip-hop. I thought you liked Wu-Tang.
I don't mind them. I'm not like a
he
fan.
Calls
you don't
them,
mind
he calls them the Wu.
You tolerate Wu-Tang?
Is that that's a big Wu-Tang hit? What is that?
Oh, my Lord. This is the whitest CEI's ever sounded, and that's saying something.
Oh, my God.
What?
Can we get to the football?
Coach me up. I don't know. Let's talk football. Mego's here. Fitzy's here. 1-4 today. You were at the Quick Slants debut with Tommy Curran went well this week?
So fun. Yeah. We are back in studio. It's awesome. I think Tom's actually excited about the team this year. So it's a nice change of pace from last year.
Yeah. It's less awkward with him and Bill now because he's been on the anti-Belichick track a little bit.
You know, I wouldn't say it's anti-Belichick. I think he's just calling it how he sees it.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not going to comment on their relationship. That is out of my purview.
Yeah. Well, you and Bill are friendly. You had the great sit down before. What was that?
We
about
just
about
have
a year
lot
ago
in
now?
Common. Mm-hmm. You know, we see things the same way in a lot of respects on the football field, the way we feel about teamwork, just kind of kindred spirits. Yeah. Talked a lot about lacrosse when the cameras turned off.
Are you guys going to discuss Cam much today? We didn't know how much Cam to do today.
We're going
to
do a little Cam.
Little Cam.
You can't. I mean, I don't know what I was expecting with that video. Yeah. I actually thought that he was going to come out and do some kind of, you know, vaccination freedom stance. Oh. And that was going to be, that's kind of what I was expecting. Instead, it was just kind of this, like, rambling all over the place, weird thing. I was like, I kind of felt like it would have been better if he just kind of put out a well-thought-out statement, you know?
Well, I liked Cecil, though.
Y'all releasing me?
I'm not sure Cecil is great for Cam.
No? I think he's tremendous.
Cecil is, listen, I coached a lot of youth sports and college lacrosse in my day, and there are certain parents where you just wish that you could just push him out of the frame for a minute.
Not with Cecil. He's not like Lonzo Ball. I mean,
ask Mississippi State what he's like.
Exactly.
It was a dirty move. It was a sucker move.
Sucker move is going to be on a T-shirt. That is a great turn of phrase.
That is absolutely not going to be on a T-shirt. That was a horrible line.
It's true. It's so true. He was done dirty. They did Cam dirty the way they cut him.
What?
I mean,
they led
him to believe he was going to be the guy, and then they cut him the week of.
It was such a turn that it was strange. There was a huge disconnect between what we heard all through the offseason about how Cam's the quarterback.
It was a covert operation.
Belichick should have been standing there saying, Cam is a quarterback.
Right.
He happens to be a quarterback. We're not sure if he's our quarterback. We're not saying he's the starting quarterback, but he is, in practice, a quarterback.
They bamboozled
him. 5 games, Cam. Cam Newton was going to be 5-0.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's probably.
I didn't even hear that. He was kind of beating Brady. do you think he helped himself? I do not. I thought that did not benefit him one way.
I thought it did.
You thought it helped him.
Yeah.
You thought he came out of that looking good?
Honest, yes. He told the story.
He didn't look like a jerk.
Right, exactly. He didn't come off as a jerk. And now teams know what happened. So if you want to sign him, what happened in New England, Cam?
Do they know what happened?
Yes.
Because to me, there were so many contradictions within that. And that's why I think he would have been better off just giving out a really well thought out, well written statement.
What contradiction?
Because he turned. Okay, for example, when he said that he got the approval for a second opinion. Mm-hmm. And in that, he said, not because I had any pain or anything, but I wanted to go to see the doctor who diagnosed me and said, you know, I'm having a little pain. And then he's like, that's all hypothetical. And it's like, I'm sorry, what are we talking about? Like, what am I listening to?
Never been in a system that required me to know where the mic is.
And you know,
it's one thing to be at a press conference where you don't control everything and something comes out the wrong way. But when you release your own video and you allow these things to be said, then
you say them too.
Right. Say them and you tacitly approve by allowing your father to sit there and just talk about Bill like he's a sucker.
Watch Brady's Subway commercial again on loop.
Doesn't make sense to me. That he said about Mac, like how he thinks about how they viewed Mac, but then also that Mac didn't beat him out. I mean, we're going to get into this in our second hour and talk a little bit about with Fitzy and I about what was the point of this video, and did he come out looking better? Because I don't think he did. I think he came out looking scrambled and strange and emotional.
Okay. And I see Fitzy's taunting you with a Bloodsport t-shirt, and you're not a Jean-Claude Van Damme fan, so we got that going on.
I think you have to watch one of the movies to know whether you're a fan or not.
Oh. Yeah, you got to watch one of the movies.
Not in that universe.
On all Wu-Tang music 3-hour extravaganza to 4.
Prediction tomorrow.
23-10 Patriots.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Shut down. Belichick comes out looking great. The new look defense looks fantastic.
2 touchdown passes to Hunter Henry.
Whoa.
That's out of left field.
From the Mac sauce. He's been nowhere to be found. I think you'll have a breakout game. And if they lose, Belichick should be fired. I'm just kidding.
I say 17-7.
17-7 Patriots.
Ooh, another one. We're hawking it up. All right. Fitzy Pants.
Fitzy will give his prediction. 24-20 Patriots. A little higher scoring. All right, Nick, great job. Fitzy and Mago coming up next. Curtis, see you Monday morning. Bill will be on with us at 6:30 a.m., bright and early.
Yes, and on Hulu or on Comcast, we can just say One Day in America on National Geographic. It is worth a watch.
Cool. Fitzy and Mago next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.